Welcome to Bridging the Gap. I'm David McDonald. On today's show, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Z, as he's affectionately known in Latin America. Dr. Zielinski travels throughout the Third World, giving surgery for free. He has a team of four healthcare professionals who assist him, and he's giving people an opportunity to get treatment that they wouldn't otherwise be able to pay for. This amazing man. We were also able to meet up with Denise Reyes, who's a well-known Spanish singer out of Honduras, and she has a Catholic TV show also. Also on today's show, we're going to be speaking with Father Jerry Lestrade, who's Noblate priest who is a missionary down in Guatemala City, where there are 16 murders a day. Please join us for the next 30 minutes on Bridging the Gap. Fortunate enough to be traveling recently, and I was down in Guatemala City playing for a big festival called Eventos Católicos, and it's an amazing fairgrounds where they had music that had thousands of people on one side where they were jumping up and down and praising the Lord, and on the other side of the fairgrounds there were doctors doing careful surgeries, and we're going to pick up this interview with Dr. Z, where he's talking about some of the places where he's done surgeries in other parts of Latin America.
I was in La Union, Honduras. I was down there with a team of three doctors and one optometrist, and we saw 910 patients in about 3.5 days there.
What is moving you to do this, Dr. Z? You could be making a lot of bucks in the United States. Why are you coming down to try to help these people?
Well, you know, God gives us all special gifts, and it's nothing special that he made me a doctor, but I realize that that's the gift that he's given me. And so now he's given me not only that gift and the knowledge and the skill, but he's given me the opportunity to give that gift out to people without anyone standing between myself as a doctor and the patient in need. And it's just an incredible experience to have that.
You have these precise hands and this razor-sharp mind, and you're allowing God to use you this way. Now, did you have a conversion experience that made you see things differently, or are you just naturally a nice guy?
No. As a matter of fact, it was quite the opposite. Back in 1978, I had an experience that must have been similar to Paul on the road to Damascus, and it happened simultaneous with John Paul talking to the people at Yankee Stadium on his first visit to the United States, and I was literally slain on my knees and in tears. I had been living in not a style that I would encourage anybody to be living at that point in time, and my life just totally turned around in a moment, and that was nothing from me. It wasn't as if I listened to John Paul's words and I considered them and I thought about them and I said, yeah, this is a good way to go, but rather just the power of the Holy Spirit coming through his mouth slew me. And my life turned immediately around. I can't explain it any other way. As far as I know, it just happened to me at that point in time, but that was the person that God wanted to touch. And when he wants you, there's just no way that you can say no. Your life changes, and it's been wonderful. I mean, it's not as if everything has been perfect ever since then. As a matter of fact, the trials of life, the closer you get to the Lord, it seems almost as if the world seems to be pushing against you more and more. And yet, the joy that's in your heart that comes from doing things like this, which make no sense to the world. I mean, I'm here when I could be making a lot of money in the United States, I guess, but that's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to use my hands for the people here who really can't afford the care that we would wish to give them. And even though this is a socialized medical system here, there's still a lot of money that has to change hands, I think, in order for people to be seen and to be treated. So to be able to come down here to bring everything that I need with me, except for an anesthesiologist, I'm asking that the Lord will provide us for an anesthesiologist for our work here. The ability to come here to have what we need, to see people who need the skills that we can supply, and then to just do it with a team of people that I love and have known for quite a while is an incredible experience for us.
What's the most common type of surgery that you're performing down here?
Well, when I come to third world countries, the thing I don't want to do is I don't want to load the hospitals with complex patients who have had complex operations and need follow-up care from other physicians. That would be defeating my purpose. And so I try to keep things pretty simple. My focus is on repairing hernias. Everybody has hernias. A hernia will keep a person who otherwise would want to provide for his family from doing so. And so with an operation that takes me less than an hour, that I can do under spinal anesthetic and with very, very little risk, that person can go home the same day. I'm repairing hernias here exactly as I would do it in the United States. I'm not cutting back on any of the quality or techniques that we're using in the United States, but rather I've gotten some donors in the United States to give me what I need to do here, and I can give these people the same type of surgery that they would have in the United States and then send them home the same day, and they can go back to work within a week and do whatever they want to do.
You know, when I was traveling through the villages around Guatemala, the poverty is just unbelievable. We can't even understand, you know, with our North American minds, the kind of poverty that people are going through. It makes Harlem look like Beverly Hills, you know, and I worked in Harlem for a couple of years, and it's just incredible. Do you get a sense that this is also a form of evangelization, just as the people on the stage here on this side of the fairgrounds are using their gifts of music to evangelize? Do you feel that you're using your gifts of medical abilities to evangelize? Do you feel that this is helping people come closer to the Lord as well as repairing them?
Well, very much so. And there's really two sides to the answer to that question. St. Francis once said to his followers, you know, preach the gospel always, and if you have to, use words. And so that just having a loving, giving spirit speaks volumes for the kingdom of God. But I've had the ability to work with some of the musicians here. For example, Guillermo Valencia, who's on stage, last year was my translator in the hospital. Hela, Angela Sandoval, who was sitting next to us a moment ago, 3 years ago was my translator. And as I was doing surgery, Hela and Guillermo would be sitting at the side of the patient, holding their hand, speaking to them the words of salvation, telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ, asking them to open their hearts and open their minds to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And yes, indeed, you know, I can repair some broken parts on a body, but what these people have done at the bedside, holding hands and praying with these people and leading them into a deeper walk with the Lord, is something that will change their life for all eternity, and that's much more important.
Today you're doing surgeries here at the grounds, the festival grounds themselves, underneath a tent, basically. But on other occasions, you've worked in the hospital here in Guatemala City. Tell us about that hospital.
The hospital in Guatemala City is just amazing. It used to be a brothel. It's in the worst part of town. And to show you what a great sense of humor God has, this brothel used to have the name of the Garden of Eden Motel. And Orlando Coronado, who started the fair here, the Feria Católica, actually purchased the brothel. And with some foresight and vision and a little bit of backing, he was able to turn this into a hospital, which is now no longer the Garden of Eden Motel, but this is called Paz, or Peace. It's a 25-bed inpatient hospital with 3 operating rooms and 12 outpatient clinic rooms. It has a little pharmacy, a little optician shop, a little market there as well. And when I had first come down here, I was working in general medicine. And at the end of my visit, I said, you know, it's wonderful to help the people in medicine, but my real expertise is surgery. Lord, if you only showed me a place where I could do my surgery, I'd really be more effective down here. And within a few minutes, I met Orlando for the first time, and he said, oh, by the way, would you like to see my hospital? And I have 3 operating rooms, and if you'd like to use it, I will give you 2 of my 3 operating rooms. So 1 year later, I was down here for 3 days, and we did 43 operations in 3 days.
And this is in an ex-brothel. You never know what was going on in those rooms beforehand.
But I know that the Spirit of the Lord was moving there when I was there, and that's the important thing. I mean, just like in my life, God only knows that I would not want to have anyone take a look back on who I used to be. That's the old man, and that man is dead. But the person who's alive right now, it's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. And by yielding yourself, opening yourself up and say, okay, Lord, I don't know what you can do with this hulk of a person, but it's yours. Do whatever you will. Watch out, because the adventure is just starting.
And it is just starting, and it's amazing what's happening down here in Guatemala City, especially today with this festival going on. Now, Dr. Z, are you associated with any organization that's sort of helping you out with this?
We have our own mission foundation. It's called the Pray It Forward Foundation. My wife is beside me. She also doubles as my office nurse. A good friend of mine is here, Sean Pinto, who's a surgical first assistant, and my friend Beth Summerlin is here, and she's a surgical nurse as well. So we're just forming a team of four people. We'll operate on everybody that will come our way and for whom their problem fits my skills as a general surgeon.
Mrs. Zielinski, what is it like traveling with Dr. Z and ministering to these people in the third world?
It's a lot of work because there's a lot of things to carry along to be able to do that, to be able to do the surgery for the people. But there's a lot of reward in the smiles you get from people you've helped.
Beth Summerlin, you're the nurse on this trip. Now, you're evangelizing people using your gift as a nurse. Do you feel that they're also evangelizing you, the people that you're helping?
Oh, absolutely. This has been, going on missions, and this is my third mission, it's the most rewarding experience I will ever have. They are wonderful, and it's as much for me as it is for them. I know that I help them out, but I get to embrace this wonderful culture and show them that God loves them, and we're just here all together as one family.
Sean Pinto, you're the physician's assistant. Now, why did you decide to come on this mission trip?
Well, I've known Dr. Zielinski for a number of years through work, and in the past, I've used my vacation time rather selfishly to travel and vacation, and Dr. Zielinski has asked me for a number of years to take a less selfish perspective and take a trip and do some work, and the Holy Spirit's just led me to take that next step. Being the first week of Lent, I thought this was a tremendous opportunity to enrich my faith, take some of the talents and use them in the way that God challenges all of us to do. So my heart's open, and I'm just ready to experience this opportunity with Dr. Zielinski and the rest of the team and try to do some good work.
So you're taking your vacation time to come down here and help poor people get surgery and get fixed up so they can get back to work.
That's correct.
And the entire team is unpaid. There are other practitioners here on the grounds who are practicing general medicine to help the people here in Guatemala. Sean, what are you experiencing as you walk around and see all of these people lined up waiting for this basic care?
It's very overwhelming. Display of need for the people that have gathered here. It's just overwhelming. We certainly don't see this in the United States, where people travel from all over the country for several days to have an opportunity to get basic health care. And it really brings it back down to human level of the basic need that people are desiring here for just themselves, their kids, their family. And it's a tremendous setup that the physicians and the local physicians have provided for them.
This is an amazing thing to witness. When they came in, you know, I've been used to speaking sort of semi-Spanish all week long, and I just really want to thank you all for, first of all, giving your hearts to the Lord and responding to that givingness through action, doing what John Paul II has called us to do, is to be the gospel in the world. So thanks so much for being with me.
Continuing on here in Guatemala at the Eventos Católicos Festival, where on one side of the grounds there is a medical team of doctors doing surgery, and on the other end of the grounds is a big festival of music where thousands of people are praising the Lord. I have with me Denise Reyes, who's a fantastic singer who has a popular Catholic TV show in Honduras. Denise, what are you seeing in Honduras? What is the state of the church there?
Well, we're growing a lot, I can tell you that much. We have a very important person, Cardinal Oscar Andres Rodriguez, and he was mentioned a few times to become the next pope. I don't know if you heard about him. He's a great person, and he's done a lot for Honduras. I have the opportunity to work at the Catholic Network back in Honduras. I have a TV show. So through the show, we do a lot too, and we get to be part of something that is growing each day. It's really nice.
And do you feel that there's a, you know, the Pope John Paul II talked about a new springtime of the church, and that people were going to come alive in the spirit. Sometimes we Catholics can get a little stiff, you know, and
always say that about us, don't they, huh?
Yeah, and we can be a little stiff in our routines and everything, and it's so important that we come into a personal relationship with Christ and we really own Him as our personal Savior. Do you see that there's movement in that way in Honduras?
Absolutely. I mean, I think especially if you talk about young people, each day I can see more and more younger people, you know, getting involved in church activities. You see their enthusiasm, you know, their willingness to do things for the church, to do things for the glory of God, and it's just beautiful.
We're seeing young people begin to see that there's options for them, that they don't have to buy the lie of this world, this lie that tells them that they have to live the way that the media, which is a new religion, is trying to teach them.
Absolutely, I agree, completely agree. But I think little by little, families are giving that importance to God in their lives. And I think it's working out. I think younger people are now, you know, opening their hearts to giving themselves to Jesus and serving in the church. And that's fantastic, I think. You know, back in Honduras, I guess it's in Latin America, you know, there's this new kind of music called reggaeton. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's popular, you know, music, but people from churches, young people from the church, the Catholic Church, you know, and other churches as well, are using this type of music to create Christian music. So it's really interesting to see how, you know, they're taking something from the world to make it part of their Christian life, you know.
And tell me about this Catholic station that you have. You know, we were talking about the media and how the media is really manipulating the minds of the youth, and that they're really speaking a lie into the hearts of the youth. And it's so important that we in the church and all Christians get involved in the media, that we take back the media, take back the airwaves, take back this incredible power. And tell me, can you tell me a little bit about the history of that station?
I think the network started about maybe, I don't know, 8 years ago, 10 years tops. I've been working for them for about 4 years now. And the objective or the idea of the Catholic Network is precisely to offer new options to people, you know, not only to young people, but to everybody. We have different kind of shows. Of course, all of them are shows that help you grow as a Christian, you know, as a person. So we have music, we have interviews, we have things about the church, things that have events that happen within during the week, you know, in our church. And it's just fantastic being able to take that, you know, through the TV, such a powerful tool, you know. The TV is an amazing tool. So the network was born especially for that, to be able to reach people, you know, in a different way.
Thanks, Denise Reyes. We hope you have a great trip back to Honduras. Next, we have Father Jerry Lestrade, who is a missionary oblate priest, and he's stationed down in Guatemala in a place where there are 16 murders a day. He's been a missionary here for 15 years. This is a guy who really has a heart for getting out there and evangelizing people who are in the poorest parts of the world, and it's such a beautiful thing to see somebody who has a heart like that, you know, when it would be so easy to sort of stay in comfortable Canada. Father, what moved you to really get involved and try to, you know, go to other countries and bring the message of Jesus to them?
First of all, we're missionaries, and I felt the call to go out, leave Canada. I think the call to come to Guatemala came when the refugees had to leave Guatemala because of the internal war that was going on for 35 years. And then we organized a trip down to the border of Guatemala, right on the border of Mexico and Guatemala. And so about in 85. And from there, my interest grew for Guatemala and meeting the Mayan people, the way they lived, the poverty they lived in. Well, to me, it just, you know, I had to do something. So I asked my superiors to come to Guatemala.
We're really in the heart of the city. There's like 16 murders here a day, you were saying. Are you not afraid when you're down here working with these people?
No, I'm not afraid. I guess I get my faith from the people, you know. People always say, well, I trust in God and I keep on walking, you know, and they don't stay out too late at night, that's for sure. But it doesn't scare me to go out, you know, when you have to have meetings and prayer meetings and Bible studies. Well, just walk in faith. Anything can happen, but you place your life in the hands of God and you just walk.
I guess when you first got here, and continually, there's a sort of a struggle, I would think, to win the confidence of the people. You're white, you're Canadian, you're English, but you've learned Spanish. Like, how do you win the confidence to let them know that you're really interested in their best?
Well, that's quite interesting, you know, because that just reminds me of the first day I arrived in Kunen in El Quiche in the mountains about 15 years ago. I said to myself, you know, coming from Canada, entering into a new culture, the indigenous people, Mayan people, I feel I need permission to get in. So I invited the elders of that town of Kunen, and I asked them permission to be with them. And right away, one of the old guys said, you don't need permission. So to me, that was like they have so much respect, you know, for the pastor, the priest, that they just opened the door. And I felt at home the first day I got there.
Is there a circumstance that sticks out in your mind of when you're really able to really touch the heart of maybe a broken family or people who are really in need, where you could really feel that your presence in their lives made a difference to them?
Well, people have a lot of confidence in us because we share their life, and I think they trust us. The event that comes to mind now is one day I was going down to a little village, had to walk about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and when I got there, the people were running all over the place, and they came to me and they said, "This lady can't give birth to the child. She's been suffering for a whole week, but after this week, she was dying actually." So I said, okay, well, we'll just have a blessing and a little prayer, and then if you want, let's take her up. About 10 men taking turns. They're walking in little trails, you know, in the mountains. They go up and down, and it's pretty steep mountains, you know. I took off first, and I said, I'll be waiting up there, you know, with my vehicle. I got there, and I waited, and during that time, it started raining. It was the rainy season. And it just poured. I said, oh, that poor woman, what's going to happen to her? When they got up after 3 hours, she was dry. They looked after her so well. You know, they covered her with plastic. You know, they put poles up there. And then we got in the car, and up the road, there was so much water going through around the curve coming down the mountain. So, and rocks coming down. We had to wait about 2 hours for the water to go down. Her brother was sitting on one side and the other side her husband. And one of the guys was saying, faster, faster. And the other guy said, no, slow down because she's in pain. So I tried to stay in between. Finally, we got to the hospital and I said, oh boy, I don't know if she'll make it. But a few days later, they sent me a note. They said a little boy was born. She gave birth to a beautiful, jolly little guy, you know. So they asked me to baptize him about a month later. To me, that was the service, you know, that the Lord asked for, you know, to look after the human need, which is also a spiritual need.
That's an amazing story. It makes me think that these people really placed their vulnerability at your hands. They were willing to say yes to the Lord, and they're willing to let God work through somebody who has given his life to God. And that's really a fantastic testimony. Father, you have with you in this household, as I came in, you were having dinner with about six or so young men who are discerning whether they're going to follow in your footsteps. You really want to see the next generation continue the work that you're doing. Perhaps we can ask them, you know, where they're at with all of this. So maybe we'll just start off with getting your names and ages.
Arnulfo. Tengo 20 años de edad.
His name is Arnulfo. He's 22 years old.
Mi nombre es Fidel Ramirez y tengo 23 años.
Fidel Ramirez is 23 years old.
Wow, that's great to see young guys who want to give their lives to the Lord. How did you decide that you wanted to try out the Oblates and to become a missionary?
En primer lugar, cuando yo inicié el proceso.
First of all, I met a friend and invited him to be a part of the house there in Playa Grande, and then he said he wanted to continue his discernment to become a missionary.
And Fidel, what about you?
Bueno, pues comencé este caminar.
So he says I started with the youth group, and then with the help of some sisters, he started the discernment, and he met another fellow from his own town who was already in process, and so he got information from him, and he was accepted here in the house to continue his process of discernment.
Maybe you could tell us about, when did you first get a sense that Jesus is alive and that he's real and that he's present in your life and that he's interested in you?
Después de la misión, yo sentí que...
He said, well, I just had a mission experience of a few weeks. And during that time, he filled with fear, but at the same time, something is stirring inside. He felt that Jesus was illuminating him, and although he was afraid to go ahead, he did continue, and that's why he made the step to come in, enter in this house.
And Fidel, what about you?
Bueno, pues también yo fui descubriendo que Jesús estaba.
Just from way back, I said I felt the call from Jesus. I felt that Jesus was alive, and then reading and listening to the Gospels, I felt that Jesus was really alive. And although that he suffered martyrdom, he went along and he accepted his suffering and the resurrection, and gave to me full of gave me new life.
That's wonderful. I'm seeing amongst the young people of Guatemala a real groundswell, of the Holy Spirit that's moving. Do you feel, Father, that Pope John Paul II's a call for a new springtime in the church, a new evangelization is happening? Do you see young people coming alive in the Spirit here in Guatemala? And do you feel that there's a real swing towards the church, even in the midst of all of the drugs and violence and everything that we're seeing all around us?
Oh yeah, the church is alive. The church is strong, you know. Well, I think what's happening now is the lay people are taking more space. And now, like, there's more room for the laity. I think that's a sign of life, and the new evangelization is taking place through the participation and the active participation of the lay people.
I'm really, really grateful to have you guys here and sharing with us on Bridging the Gap, and I'm really hoping to get back to Guatemala soon. I leave. I'm going to go see Tikal tomorrow, which is the Mayan ruins, and then I'm going to head back to Canada the day after tomorrow. So I'm going to miss Guatemala when I leave. I'm going to miss the people, and I've been very, very impressed with what I'm seeing here in the church and among all the people who are of God's people. And I really want to thank you for your missionary work that you've done for the last 15 years in participating in that new groundswell that we're seeing, Father.
Thanks very much, David.
In section 1426 to 1430 of the Catechism, we are invited to have a second conversion, to have a personal encounter with Christ. It is a part of our Catholic faith. My prayer is that for those of you who may not have had that experience, that you will invite Christ to be the Lord of your life. If you'd like to get in contact with Bridging the Gap or order a copy of this show on CD, you can find us online at CatholicBridge.com. That's www.CatholicBridge.com. We'd love to hear from you. Until then, may God richly bless you and your family. I'm David MacDonald.